Welcome to the Gym Podcast. Uncut, unfiltered, unreal.
Welcome everyone to the Gym Podcast. Welcome folks. I'm your host, Jimbo Fisher. Joining me this week, as always, is the one, the only, Randy Darsh.
Hello everybody, it's good to be back for another week. This is my favorite college basketball podcast. I'm really excited to talk about the Alabama-Houston game. That's actually tonight, so we'll actually release this after the Alabama-Houston basketball game. And that was some of the games from last week, too.
Yeah, we could recap, Wisconsin basketball, we're undefeated. I think ranked like 17 right now. So, I mean, now that we're pivoting to being a basketball podcast. Okay, I can't go on with the bit, Randy. I can't go on. Hey, we're both feeling kind of crappy, aren't we? We're both having a kind of bad week.
So yeah, I mean, I don't want to be all woe is me because I know we have history.
You're still making the playoffs.
I don't expect a pity party, dude. Y'all should hate us, et cetera, et cetera.
I would like one, though, as a Wisconsin fan. I would like a pity party.
I guess with that being said, we'll just go right into it. Is that what we're going to do?
Let's get it. Let's just get it over with. Rip the Band-Aid off.
All right. Alabama, Oklahoma, what happened? I gotta say, Jalen Milroe is the most Jekyll and Hyde quarterback I've ever seen. And I've actually developed a theory as a result of this game.
Okay.
You know how he always destroys Georgia?
Yeah.
I think it's because Georgia thinks, and they're right in thinking this, but they think they have the talent to just straight up play us with like a basic defensive scheme. We're going to execute with the spy and this and that.
Right.
But if you do that against Milroe, he's still going to carve you up and eat you up. But if you throw any kind of like disguised blitzes, get some unexpected pressure, he just cannot read it. And he has no idea what's coming. It flusters him and he gets in his own head and he starts throwing the most horrible picks you've ever seen. I think that's why he destroys Georgia. That's also the epitome of what happened on 4th-and-31, if you remember that play. Yeah,
terrible, terrible defense. They just like they rushed 3, I think.
That's the thing. If you give him time to throw and let him just play straight up defense against him, that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But to Oklahoma's credit, I mean, they had a great game plan. They really confused him, flustered him. They took advantage of his poor footwork in the pocket, poor pocket presence. They did exactly what they needed to do, and they played a great game. And I'm going to make another note, you know, I know people meme about our SEC affiliation and everything.
Oh, boy.
But I'm going to make a point that this is why we kind of talk about it, and that obviously Oklahoma's not a great team this year. They have a lot of struggles, especially offensively. But part of having so much talent is that even a bad team that looks discombobulated, they can randomly show up for 1 week and just kind of pull it together and beat you if you're not super careful. And I tried to make this point last week and be like, oh, you're going to destroy Oklahoma.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I really blame you for the last for saying that.
Yeah. Every time I say that, you guys lose the following week. So, I mean.
We're not great on the road this year. That's for sure. Except for in Death Valley. So, you know.
Yeah.
Also, I wanted to compliment Oklahoma fans.
Wow.
Like, I know you always talk about, you make a point a lot of the time about how you think Oklahoma's done for in the SEC. And I've always disagreed.
Yeah.
Their fan attitude is exactly why. It's like they kind of understand. They act like they've been there before. This is a huge win for them, but they act like they've been there before and took the win in stride.
But they rushed the field.
But I mean, general fan interaction after the game, like online and all that stuff. They've acted pretty good. They didn't like gloat. They didn't go ha 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 ha. They didn't even act super like. They didn't act like it's the greatest win in the history of their program.
Right.
Because frankly, it's not.
Oh yeah, they've been there before. Right. They won national championships, but I don't know. It is surprising because Oklahoma, I really did not think they had a chance entering this game. If for no other reason, I fully expected their offense to be totally pedestrian. And to be fair, they did only score 2 offensive touchdowns all game. One of their touchdowns was a pick 6. But Jackson Arnold, I got to give him credit. This white man is dangerous. Am I allowed to say that?
White Mamba, dude.
Dude was running his mind out. I could not believe it. He's only 6'1". He's only 6'1", but he seems big, doesn't he? He seems like a bulldozer just like going down the field.
They played him. It's like they copied the Vanderbilt playbook play for play against us. And to their credit, they did just enough to keep our offense off the field to where we'd get frustrated, force plays. They did exactly what they needed to do and had the perfect game plan.
Yeah. So crazy stuff. do we have to
talk also about that? I need to ask you in the context of the expanded playoffs,
sure,
is it Alabama over?
No. Dude, okay, I guess we're talking about this now. Like, no. So, I mean, we're recording this right now, 4 o'clock on Tuesday. The rankings are coming out tonight in, what, like 3 hours or something like that. I guarantee you, Alabama will be in the top 12 tonight. No doubt in my mind.
To be fair, number 12 would be left out of the playoffs because the number whatever team, like the Big 12 champion's not going to be in the top 12.
But I think Bamba, like... They would need something crazy to happen to not make the playoffs at this point. This is obviously assuming an Auburn win, which, I mean, let's be real. It's, you know, that's a gimme. I think Bama's going to get either the 11 or the 12 seed. Again, depending on how it works with, you know, like the Big 12 winner getting in automatically. You know, all the weird edge cases because of this new format. But Bama's going to be the highest ranked 3-loss team. Can we agree on that, Randy?
I think we can definitely agree on that. And honestly, where being ranked around 11 to 15-ish would not be unheard of. I mean, there's a pretty good precedent for that historically. We looked it up. And
it's not common. I wouldn't say
it's pretty common. It's fairly common. Part of it is we have a lot of ranked wins. I mean, we have more ranked wins than Penn State and Ohio State combined. So, I mean.
What have we got? Are we counting Missouri as a ranked win, Randy?
It's a ranked win. It counts.
Are we counting LSU still?
It's Georgia. Let's see. Georgia, Missouri. I'm not sure. I know South Carolina, LSU.
Man.
I think that's the four. I don't remember exactly which four they were.
Yeah. I mean, I look into this.
That Georgia win is going to carry us, especially with Georgia now going to the SEC championship game.
Yeah. The first half, like, dude.
Here's the thing. Think about it. If Georgia wins the SEC championship, they're going to probably put us in because they're like, yeah, we saw what Alabama did against them.
I get it. And they will because Texas is fraudulent. But I feel like, okay, correct me if I'm wrong here. I feel like Bama it's been this way this year, and I think it's always going to be this way. Bama will always be the highest ranked whatever loss, like, team in the nation. So, like, when they lose their first game, they will be the highest ranked 1-loss team. When they lose their second game, they'll be the highest ranked 2-loss team. You feel me?
It's true. You're absolutely
it's
right
always going to be like this, and I have to tell you, it's like, hey, it hurts, dude.
There's more than one reason for that. There's two main reasons we get that. And it's one, because of our past two decades of success. Decade and a half of success.
Sure.
And two, it's because they will look at, like, talent composite and that sort of thing, which does kind of matter when it comes to potential. But I can agree that it's not necessarily fair to just look at talent composite and be like, okay, rank them higher. Because they technically have more potential. Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
It's a fine line between deserving and trying to make it like a power ranking kind of thing. And it's kind of like a weird mishmash with no objective criteria.
I feel like in a lot of ways, having 12 teams has made this whole, like, this part, like, this gray area all the more gray. You know? Like, it's actually kind of easy to look at the top 4 teams, but 12, it's like, what the hell do you do? You know what I mean?
I do wish there was a more objective criteria. I will also say, you know, the CFP committee does themselves zero favors by just giving kind of nonsensical explanations. It's like they don't explain the logic of their decisions, and instead they, like, speak in these vagaries where they're just trying to use some type of plausible deniability to avoid responsibility for maybe a wrong decision and deflect criticism instead of just saying, this is what we think and why.
Yeah.
Like, for example, like the automatic bids for a group of 5 conference members, having some certain talented teams left out that played objectively much tougher schedules. If instead of just going, well, you know, resume and these factors which constantly change, where we place importance on different things depending on what we feel like, they would say something like, yes, South Carolina looks to have more talent on paper, but they've had multiple opportunities to take down top opponents and have shown they aren't capable. These auto bids are important because a lot of times group of 5 teams are overlooked. They deserve to have the opportunity to try.
Yeah.
They would just straight up say that. They would probably get a lot less flack. I don't think people are going to be mad about South Carolina getting left out, but I feel like people will say something about them not getting in over us. I don't know.
How I look at it is, in years past, when there were only 4 teams, like, at most 1 or 2 teams would get snubbed typically. But now we're kind of looking everywhere from, like, say, the 10 to 16-ish range is, like, this weird twilight zone of, like several teams are going to get snubbed. You know what I mean? And
people are more or less angry that it's like, okay, now Alabama's going to get the automatic mulligan.
I think you are.
I mean, we probably are. It's an accurate statement. But I don't think he should throw the baby out with the bathwater, because now we're still talking legitimately about teams like Army. Yeah. We're talking about BYU, Arizona State, Colorado, SMU. These teams, you know, for Alabama to get an extra mulligan, that's one bad. But we have five or six goods coming out of it.
I suppose so. We should real quick talk about Army. Did you watch that game? I don't know if this was conflicting with any other games.
It was on at the same time, so dude, I was a little preoccupied.
I feel bad. Notre Dame hates the troops. That's my assessment of that game.
They're unpatriotic.
Extremely. They annihilated them. And honestly, dude, Notre Dame, it's weird because, like, that NIU game is, like, forever lingering. But honestly, dude, Notre Dame's really good. Like, Notre Dame's really good this season. And I feel like no one's talking about them. No one's talking about them. I don't know. Keep an eye out.
No, I remember the week after the NIU game, they destroyed Purdue, and granted, it's Purdue. Yeah. And then they put on a really good showing against Louisville. Yeah. They destroyed Georgia Tech, destroyed ranked Navy, yeah. And they have quietly, ever since that game, just looked really, really good.
Riley Leonard, he's the real deal. So
I remember saying, you know, whenever that game happened, watch Notre Dame still go 10-2, 11-1 and make the playoff, while NIU goes like 5-7.
Yeah, here we are, dude.
NIU is now 6-5. And Notre Dame is probably going to make the playoff.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. I think that's just like that's a Marcus Freeman thing, it seems, to be a specialty. Losing these games they have no business losing. But I don't know. It's all about ceiling, it seems, these days, right? It's all about potential, and Notre Dame obviously has that. Any other games?
Let's go ahead. Yeah. I did want to talk about, let's go ahead and start at 11 a.m. We got a little sidetracked.
Sure.
We had Indiana going down to Ohio State. For one, is it Indiana over? And is Ohio State, how do you chink their plot armor?
I don't think it's Indiana over yet. If for no other reason, I just can't imagine them like keeping out a one-loss Big Ten team. As for Ohio State, dude, like, how you beat them is just having talent. Like, Indiana's a good team in the sense that they're a very well-coached team, right? It's a very, like, the culture there is excellent. You can tell. Ohio State won because of a talent differential, right? There's a talent gap between Indiana and Ohio State. So Indiana can't beat Ohio State, but Indiana could beat SMU. Indiana could beat Arizona State or Boise State, right? And so, like, Indiana, I think, deserves to be in the playoffs for that case. As for beating Ohio State, yeah, like, a team like Georgia would have to swoop in and beat Ohio State. Oregon, right? Like, teams with similar talent composites are going to beat that caliber of team.
See, you kind of agreed with the point I made earlier about how, like, a 6-6 team that's 500, that's .500, this can be still so dangerous if they have a high talent composite. It's almost scarier to play Oklahoma than it is Indiana. And I'm not saying Oklahoma's a better team, but if the Oklahoma that showed up versus Alabama showed up versus Indiana, I would be curious to see how that game went.
It's like, would you rather just like be punched in the face or like be shot at, knowing that like 9 times out of 10 you dodge the bullet? You know, like that's kind of how I see it.
Think about it like this. You're in a race. Would you rather drive the 04 Honda Civic that's going to reliably go 40 miles an hour, no more, no less, and never break down, or have the supercar that is very unreliable, constantly breaks down, might break down at any moment, and you don't know when to expect it, and you're going to have to try to figure out how to fix it, and you might not be able to, you know what I mean, but can go 200 miles an hour?
It depends on whether or not I play at Georgia.
That's my statement.
But I get it. It's potential range, you know. It's College football's weird like that. Other games, Randy. This was a big weekend, by the way. There's a ton of upsets. What the heck? I didn't think it would be this crazy.
Yeah, that's also why our ranking is probably not going to move too much, because there were like 8 teams behind us that also lost.
Yeah.
And the only ones that did win are teams that we beat. So
no big deal. All right, you're saying Penn State, Minnesota. Thank God.
Penn State, how annoying is it that the week after we talked about how you had a one-point loss versus Oregon, Penn State has a one-point win as a top-five team versus Minnesota?
I saw this coming. This is just classic. Like, it's classic, dude. It's classic, like, Minnesota does this thing where they will, like, I guess, like, play close against good teams, but never find a way to finish, and this is just another case. Like, I really wasn't worried. Even in that fourth quarter, when it looked like down to the wire here, man, like, I just knew Penn State was going to pull through. James Franklin doesn't lose these kinds of games, you know? So I'm glad Minnesota kind of got a taste of their own medicine, I guess you could say, after mocking us for losing a close one against Oregon.
You know what I've noticed about Minnesota? You pointed this out to me, and I've noticed it.
Yeah.
Every time on third down, they do this. All defensive players do the fist thing.
Yeah, dude, it's
almost like a cult symbol.
And now that you've seen this, when you're watching the NFL, note that the Minnesota Vikings also do the same thing. I'm not even joking, dude. It's like exclusively
Is it a Minnesota thing?
It must be, and it's so, dude. It's just like. It's childish in a way where it feels like middle school kids like raising their hand. I, there's something about it, man, that just rubs you the wrong way.
Yeah, it's very gimmicky.
It's like, yo, we got him, we got him, we got him. It's like, dude, it's football. Like, teams punt all the time. Like, it's not, you know what I mean, dude? Like,
exactly.
God, dude. It's, I don't know, there's weird things.
It's
like,
so
this.
Funny to see them do it. They really celebrate their third down stops, really, but they'll celebrate and do the fist thing whenever it's like a wide receiver dropped a pass.
Oh my God. Minnesota's the best at that, dude. They're the best at like celebrating the other team losing, the other team beating themselves. This is like kind of tangential to this, but have you noticed, like, does your stadium do the thing? Do your players do the thing where after the third quarter ends, everyone raises their hand and makes a four? I feel like
we started that, dude.
You started that. I don't know about that, man.
We've been doing that for like two decades at this point. So Scott Cochran really brought that with Saban in 2007, and it became our fourth quarter thing.
There's no way Bama started this. There's no way Bama started this.
We've been doing it since 2007 as a Scott Cochran thing.
Okay. I want to look at the origin of this, because I feel like teams didn't used to do this. When I first started going to college in like 2012, I didn't see this. And at some point I started seeing this, and now it's every, like, I never not see it. But like every team does it now, you know? There's got to be some like documentary on this, the history of the four fingers.
Of the four.
Because like for Wisconsin at least, it's kind of like we associate the end of the third quarter with jump around. And so no one's really thinking about that. Like, we're just
gonna. Yeah, no, not everybody dropped it. You have your own cool fourth quarter thing.
Yeah.
Keep it.
Yeah. Unrelated.
Nobody else can complicate it.
Yeah. Other big games, Randy. Other big games.
Arizona State.
Huge.
Taking down BYU, not controlling their own destiny to make the playoff.
Yeah.
I think that was a very interesting game. They have a very good running back with a very cool name, Scatadoo. One thing I actually wanted to talk about was the fuel storm rush at the end and the Arizona State college students taking a picture and pointing and laughing at the BYU player who was on the ground. And it's like, dude, y'all need to remember these are high level athletes. Yeah. They can beat your ass if they wanted to. You're lucky. Yeah. I feel like they forget that when they rush the field.
Yeah, I'm all for like rushing the field's cool, right? Like, make no mistake. Like, you got a big win, go celebrate. But like, I've never been a fan of, like, dweeb, like, just regular college kids, like, mocking the other team. Just, like, running past them and, like, swearing at them or something. But, like, if you look back at the replay, like, right immediately after that BYU player catches the Hail Mary and is a couple yards short, the Arizona State kids rush the field. And there's, like, a mob of dumb kids around him on their phones, like, recording the BYU player and, like, pointing and laughing at him. And just, like, I don't know, man. Like, that's... That's way too far.
It's trashy. It's trashy. To be honest,
There's been a lot of trashy behavior. Dude, I don't know what's going on, if it's like a COVID thing, but between this and like the Texas players throwing garbage onto the field and like all these premature, there were two premature storming of the fields last week. Oklahoma did the same thing. What is going on, dude, with the Zoomers, man? I don't get it.
It is kind of funny to see how the field storms. They're always premature.
Yeah.
It's just so
funny.
Like,
how hard is it, dude? Like, I don't... You know what I mean? This was never a problem in years past, I don't think. Like, can you think of this being a problem in, like,
ever? I don't remember it ever being a problem before.
Yeah.
I think nowadays games are so much... There's more importance placed on these games because of what they mean. Mm-hmm. And this is the point I've been making on the podcast over the past few weeks.
Yeah.
That it almost seems like the regular season has more importance placed on it than the expanded playoff.
I would agree.
Less because so many teams are still fighting. Yeah. These games mean more. Even if you're like a 5-6 team playing, you know, Texas A&M, like Auburn beat Texas A&M this past week. Great segue. That game still means a lot because, you know, you're fighting, you're keeping somebody out of the playoff and crushing their hopes and dreams.
Yeah.
That alone is a lot of pride to play for.
Auburn rushed the field as well after four overtimes.
They have a tendency to do that.
That's true.
Auburn, I can't think of a more expected outcome than Auburn just beating Texas A&M at home for no reason.
You saw it coming? I saw it coming. Yeah. I kind of had a feeling. I wasn't able to stay up for this one. I was too tired. Too high off of the Bama loss. But I see you went to 4 OT. Good grief, yep. Dude. I guess... here's the thing, though, right? These days, does 4 OT even mean anything? Because, like, after the second overtime, it's just, like, sudden death. It's just two-point conversions, right?
I think getting to the... Even just getting to the third overtime is very unlikely. It kind of does, kind of doesn't.
Yeah. I'm just bummed we'll never have that...
It's interesting to watch it.
Like, we're probably never going to get past that 7 OT... game that we
I wish they would do is instead of just constantly flip-flopping and having to go all the way on the other side of the field and all the way this and that for one play, just have each team do it like they do it in soccer. Have each team run 5 2-point conversion plays in a row.
That'd be kind of cool, actually.
It would be really cool.
Well, in soccer though, they don't do it in a row. They go back and forth still. But like make it best of five. Instead of just saying like, all right, next one wins, like do best of five. That dude.
That'd be really cool.
That'd be sick. Okay. We gotta let Sankey know about this one.
Well, I'll pass the idea on to him.
I know
next time I walk by the SEC office downtown in downtown Birmingham.
Yeah.
Colorado went down and they no longer control their own destiny in the Big 12. They lost to Kansas, who is now 5-6, and I wanted to give a little bit of shout outs to Kansas.
Yeah.
Kansas, the past 3 weeks, have taken down Iowa State, who is on track to go to the Big 12 championship and is highly ranked, BYU, who is number 6 at BYU, and now Colorado. They have been on a tear these past 3 weeks.
Shouts out to the Jayhawks. It's almost like the writing was on the wall. If you look back at Kansas's record this year, yes, it's bad. They're 5-6 right now. But many of their losses were by a touchdown or less. Like, Illinois, they lost by 6, they lost to UNLV by 3, lost to West Virginia by 4, lost to Arizona State by 4, lost to Kansas State by 2. Like, they had so many games that were super, super close.
These are all great teams that they're playing.
Yeah, these are fine teams. Like, Kansas, in an alternate universe, Kansas could be, like, 8-2 right now. And, like, potentially in the playoff hunt. Which is wild to think about, but, like, that's just, it's a game of inches, dude. It gives and it takes, and Kansas is proof of that.
Lance Leopold, maybe next Wisconsin coach, right?
I hope so. We gotta fire everyone.
don't say it yet. Don't say it. You gotta get.
No, I'm saying.
At least wait till after the Minnesota game. If you lose the Minnesota game, then absolutely, I will back you up. But until then, I'm not.
Okay.
You get rid of Longo. The bad man's gone.
There's several other bad men, but yeah, I get it.
All right. So, are you ready to move on to week 14?
Rivalry week. Rivalry week, Randy. Let's get it going here, dude. I assume you have the schedule up. We're going to go through all the major rivalries. I'm really excited for this, dude. This is the best week in sports.
I love this one. There's always so many fights. There's usually a couple snow games.
I'm in it for the fights, mostly. Yeah.
It's always very big.
It might be snowing in Madison on Friday, which will be kind of fun.
Ooh, okay.
Okay.
So I guess usually there is a Thanksgiving game. I'm trying to find where the Egg Bowl is. Is it not on Thanksgiving Day this year?
Hold on. Did they cancel?
Where is it?
It's on Friday.
No, it's on Friday now. That was always our Thanksgiving tradition was we'd watch the Egg Bowl at my in-law's house, and it was our thing, man.
That's tragic.
Whatever.
That's tragic.
So I guess we'll start with Friday.
Let's go for it.
I did want to talk about one game.
Okay.
On Thursday night at 6:30 p.m., Memphis plays at Tulane. Mm. Tulane is 9-2, ranked number 20th, and undefeated in their conference. There's a legitimate chance that Tulane can go to the playoff and sneak in over a Big 12 champion, especially the Big 12 champion is some 3-4 team.
They need Boise to lose. I think that's their path, right? Let Boise State lose a game, and then Tulane's like suddenly the highest ranked G5 team.
I think even if Boise State has had some really ugly wins. I mean, they beat 2-9 Wyoming by only like 3 points this past week. I think all else being even, but I don't know if Boise has like pole inertia. You know what I mean?
It's tough because like Tulane is a respected program for whatever reason. I mean, they're talented enough for a G5 team, right? But like, I don't know, dude. I'm just saying, like, if Boise loses, I think Tulane's going to be in that conversation. But Tulane needs to win this game, obviously. Against a 9-2 Memphis, I should add. Memphis isn't ranked, but, like, Memphis is a good team. I've got no... They beat Florida State, if you recall.
That's right.
I think this is going to be a legit... a very legitimate challenge for Tulane, and I hope they pull through.
All right. So, moving on to Friday.
Let's get it.
We have, 11 a.m. on Friday, we have, is it called the Axe Game?
It's the Axe Game, Randy, of course. We're playing for the Axe, dude.
It's going to be a balmy 24 degrees in Madison for this game. Are you ready?
I'm going to it, obviously. Going to it. Listen, dude. If the Badgers that showed up last Saturday against Nebraska show up this Friday against Minnesota... I might have to leave after jump around. I mean, like, my heart can't take it, honestly. Like, I really can't emphasize this enough, Randy. We are so bad. This is the worst Wisconsin team of my life. And I just... It is going to kill me inside if Minnesota wins this game and we are no longer bowl eligible. Like, the double whammy would be too much.
For those at home, Wisconsin has the longest active bowl streak in college football right now, going back to, 2004?
It's true.
20 years?
Look it up. 23 years.
And 23 years. Okay, so going back to 2001. If they lose to Minnesota, their rival, they would lose that active bowl streak, and they would no longer be the longest active bowl streak team in the country.
Hurts, dude.
And you know Minnesota wants nothing more than to do that and be able to brag, yada, yada, yada.
Yep.
I find it funny that we're in this position. Minnesota fans are, like, really excited about their season, about how good it is. And you guys are, like, dooming hardcore, but you have basically the same record.
Yeah, I know. Now, this is exactly what I'm saying, dude. And it's just, like, it's like that meme of, like, the guy in the bus and, like, one's looking at the, you know, the wall and one's looking at... It's like that. It's really like... Because, like, it, for all... If things go our way, we will finish the season 6-6 and be like, dang, that really sucked. And conversely, Minnesota would also finish 6-6 and say, guys, you know what? Good job, fellas. Good, pat yourself on the back. Like, that's just how they operate, dude. Like, they're losers. They are losers. Like, they're content with being losers in a way that I'm just not, as a person, as a man. Like, I am not okay with being 6-6. Even if we win, this season's a failure. You know what I mean? And like Minnesota fans,
I respect the honesty.
Yeah, they can't feel
that. I respect the expectations.
Yeah.
I will say for the Nebraska game, it really seemed like a combination of one, just being, it's a hangover after that really tough Oregon game. You're on the road.
Yeah.
And you're also looking ahead kind of to this rivalry game, doing anything you can. Losing this game is not an option for your players or for Coach Fickell. They know what's at stake.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like with Minnesota, it's like, it'd be cool if we won and ended it.
I hope so, man. And I hope they're tired after that Penn State game. Like, I hope that really, you know, kind of like the same thing with us in Oregon, just, like, really took it out of them.
But they're also not looking ahead to anything. They know this is it. But I also just don't think they want it as badly as you guys do.
I assure you this right now, just in life. I want this so much more than any Minnesota fan. Period. And I know I'm not on the field. I'm not on the sidelines. But I think the way I feel is shared by many Wisconsin fans and is probably shared by the team, which is that we cannot stand these goofers, dude. They're bad people. They're genuinely really bad people. And
they gave us Target, though. We have Target.
There needs to be justice. That's all I'm going to say.
My wife loves Target.
Dude, wives in general love Target. Shouts out to wives out there. But yeah. We gotta win this one, dude. We gotta win this.
We also on Friday night have at 6:30 p.m. 7-4 Georgia Tech at 9-2 Georgia. I hate to say it, but I don't give Tech much of a chance in this game.
Even though they're 7-4, even though you know,
okay, it's just Georgia's a little too focused because they're now in a very good position. They control their own destiny. However, they have the
them controlling their own destiny. Let's not forget, this is an out of conference game. Georgia's already in the SEC championship. And so technically
speaking, if they lose this game, they're likely out of the playoffs. It's not an option.
Kirby
doesn't operate that way.
There's no way.
If anything, it's a strike of motivation to realize, hey, we have the ability to right all the wrongs and embarrassments. And
could you imagine if Georgia loses this and like drops in the rankings, but then beats Texas in the SEC championship? Like, would they wouldn't miss it. Like, they'd be in, though. They might not be top four, though.
No, they'd be in, but I'm saying they know what's at stake. A loss for Georgia would be so bad that they're too focused.
Okay, all right. And this is at Georgia. So
yeah, it's at Georgia.
Yeah, that should do it. That should do it.
Now, moving on to Saturday. Saturday morning, 11 a.m., we have Michigan at Ohio State.
The
how funny would it be?
There's no way, though. I'm not going to humor it.
Michigan has one of the best defenses in the country.
No, you can't.
There's so much at stake. Ooh.
I just think it's funny. Like, it's actually kind of, I guess we've been kind of spoiled in years past. Because I feel like every year for the last, like, 6 years, this has been, like, number two versus number three, or like something like insanely high stakes, like winner goes to the playoffs, loser doesn't. And now it's just like it is so comedic how far Michigan has fallen off since last year.
Game gives me a vibe. Similar vibe to whenever we played Oklahoma last week, where it's like, yes, they're 0.500, they're 6-5, 5-6, whatever, but they have so much talent. And that game is going to mean so much to them that makes them dangerous. And Michigan, I feel the same way about Michigan.
Michigan is so bad. I wish we had played Michigan this year. I wish Wisconsin had played Michigan. Because beyond talent, that team is in disarray in the same way we are. Like, culturally speaking, Michigan is garbage. Like, actually,
they are in disarray. They are in garbage, but they have talent. And they can get it together for 1 week. And you know this is the week they are going to.
I guess. Thing is, Ohio State's going to be prepared as well. Like, let's not forget about that. And, like, a prepared, disciplined Ohio State is scary to think about. So, I don't know, man. Ohio State's favored by 21 for a reason. I think they cover that. I think this is going to be done by halftime.
Okay, I don't agree. We'll move on.
Okay,
we have 8-3 South Carolina at 9-2 Clemson. Do you think the winner of this game is going to the playoffs?
Only if Bama loses. That's my analysis. I'm not even joking, dude.
You don't think South Carolina would jump us?
No, because you beat them. You have the head-to-head. So I'm not.
That's true.
And Clemson had that really bad loss to Georgia. And so it would take Bama losing.
Do you think that would put 9-3 Bama over 9-3 Clemson?
Yeah. 10-2 Clemson, you mean, right? Like, they wouldn't... Like, Clemson would have to win out to be in this conversation. And Clemson right now is probably... Clemson's in the ACC championship, by the way. So I guess, like...
I don't know how the tiebreaker works. I see they're tied with Miami right now.
Are they? Dude...
I think Miami would be in because Miami's 10-1, Clemson's 9-2, so I think Miami would get
in. Well, it depends if Miami beats Syracuse this week, which, yeah, they will. But, yeah, and that's a good point. Clemson does need to win this for their own sake.
Here, I have the tiebreaker. The tied team with the higher ranking by the team rating score metric provided by Sports Source Analytics following the conclusion of regular season games.
Yeah. Well, that's going to be Miami. Miami's going to be higher ranked than Clemson. I'm pretty sure. Surely.
Combined head-to-head percentage among the tight teams.
Yeah.
All tight teams are common opponents. Basically, we don't have a clue who's actually... That's one thing that's really annoying about the lack of divisions. It's like, okay, who's going? Who would win the tiebreaker?
It is, dude. Tiebreakers have never been harder. Like, it's true. It's been... You know, look at the Big 12 race. If there's like 8 teams that could win it. Like, what the heck? What's going on? Bananas. But okay. No, hey, Hey, I'll say this, Randy. South Carolina's going to win. No, South Carolina's winning this one pretty easily. So,
I tend to agree.
Not too worried.
All right, moving on. I'm going to scroll down a little bit. I took it off of top 25 to just all games because I know I'm going to see something I want to.
You don't
want to
talk about Tennessee Vanderbilt?
We have. Oh, Tennessee Vanderbilt.
Let's talk about it.
I don't even know what to say about it.
Is this too soon? Too close to heart? Because I thought you were like.
I mean, I just don't see Vandy winning. I mean, we lost to both teams, right?
I know. Yeah.
So I don't even know which one would benefit us. Like, if Tennessee loses, that might benefit us because then it's, you know, a three-loss team that would probably be behind us. And I know you mentioned head-to-head, but it's like, I feel like they would like us more.
They would. You know how it goes. All right.
At 2:30, we also have 10-1 Notre Dame at USC in sunny Los Angeles, California. Do you think the weather's going to be so comfortable and perfect that it's going to shock Notre Dame and they're not going to know how to play?
Maybe, dude. Maybe. That's funny. I'm weirdly scared for Notre Dame in this game. I'm not even going to lie, dude. Like, I'm looking at it right now, and I know it's Vegas, but, like, Notre Dame's only favored by 7.5 points. So a touchdown favorite, but, like, that's not a comfortable kind of lead, I guess you could say. USC does this weird thing where they can weirdly compete with about anyone. Like, they beat LSU this year. They took Penn State down to the wire. But they can also lose to anyone. It just kind of depends on, like, which version of USC shows up this weekend.
They're like a worse version of Bama. Huh.
They are. They really are, dude. But, yeah, I mean...
No, I think Notre Dame's going to be fine because Notre Dame, they're used to, as a program and as players, already traveling across the country.
That's true.
And I think normally that would be a big factor in this, but I think they'll be fine.
Okay. I hope for their sake they are, man. I do not like USC. Not one bit.
At 2:30, the first 2:30 slot game, we have the Iron Bowl, Auburn at Alabama. I am so glad that this is a home game.
Yeah? Why is that, Randy?
Because we play horribly on the road, unless it's Bryant Denny West, a.k.a. Death Valley.
Wow.
You got to be super careful. Auburn's going to be more hyped than anything, but I think the home crowd is really going to help us.
I mean, yeah, it always does. Like, that's the thing. Like, I get the whole Auburn voodoo thing, but isn't, like, historically Bama versus Auburn, whenever it's at Alabama, it's just, like, an absolute annihilation. Like, is that?
We have a much better record at home than at Jordan-Hare.
Let's look this up here. 2022, 49-27.
You also have to remember the Iron Bowl historically only started being played home and home since, like, 20 years ago.
And since then, you guys have annihilated them, haven't you? Like, I'm looking back, every single even-numbered year.
There was a thing, because it started being played around the whole Tom and Tuberville fear the thumb thing. So we actually didn't get our first win in Bryant Denny versus them for a while.
Really? When was this? Yep. I mean, I'm looking back. Okay, 2010, you guys lost. So we got to go back 14 years to the last time Bama lost at home to Auburn. That was the comeback. Auburn does not currently have Cam Newton, so I'm not too worried for you guys.
Even a washed, broken shoulder Cam Newton at this point would probably be an improvement over Peyton Thorne. But it is what it is. I'm very glad it's a home game. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay, fair enough.
My heart cannot handle a road Iron Bowl with these stakes right now. I just can't. It's not even like losing as much as losing the game sucks. And I know you can relate to this dealing with Minnesota fans. It's not even the game itself as much as you're going to have to hear them talk about it.
Oh, yeah. They will not shut up. They will not shut up. That's my concern, dude, for the next year.
Like, Auburn fans can just point their finger and talk as much crap as they want. And I really have nothing I can say.
Yeah, it's tough.
I just have to take it.
Yeah.
Next up, we have... I'm trying to think if there's anything specific I want to point out.
I mean, I'm seeing a few games here. I'm seeing a few games.
Go ahead.
How do we feel about Florida State? We got to talk about this garbage bowl. Do you think Florida State has a chance?
Nope.
Cool. All right, let's move on. 2-10 Oklahoma. Florida State, dude. Let's talk about
Oklahoma at LSU is going to be an interesting one at 6 p.m. I think Oklahoma takes it pretty comfortably, actually.
Really? No No bias or anything, just kind of feeling it.
No bias, but I also think that's going to help us. Oklahoma gets a lot of disrespect for their, you know, record. Mm-hmm. But think about it. 7-5 Oklahoma. Is that really that bad of a loss at that point?
I mean, for Bama standards, you know, it's just, it's a little bit uncharted territory.
Not the best loss, but there's worse losses out there.
We'll see. LSU is favored. This is in Death Valley. So, we'll see. We'll see. LSU is not that bad, so I think they can pull it off.
Okay. At 6:30, I'm actually very excited to talk about this one.
Please.
Because I have my lock of the week ready.
Oh, my God.
Texas, 10-1 at Texas A&M, 8-3. Uh-huh. My lock of the week is Texas A&M wins this game.
Yeah, probably. Probably.
It's a vibe. It's a vibe. Part of it is Texas has not really been challenged. I mean, they played Georgia, but they embarrassed themselves versus Georgia.
Yeah.
Apart from that, Texas really hasn't played anybody. They were hand-gifted the softest SEC schedule they could possibly be given. And as a result, I think they weren't toughened up properly. Like, Oklahoma got a baptism by fire, and I think that legitimately probably helped them for the Bama game. They kind of knew what to expect.
Yeah,
Texas got a taste of it versus Georgia, but...
Yeah.
They're not ready for it.
Like week in, week out.
To say them having a decade in the SEC, I think it helps just because it's a more physical. We're a very physical conference. We may not, you know, be as consistent. We're not a consistent conference, but we're a physical conference. Like it's we're not going to reliably get 4 to 5 yards per play.
Yeah.
But they will punch you in the mouth, and it's going to be physical all game.
And it's funny in hindsight.
I don't think Texas is ready for it.
I agree, and it's funny in hindsight, like, their big marquee win over Michigan, like, that's not that good. Like, it was fine, but, like, it's Michigan's bad this year, right? And then, like, their big win over Oklahoma, I mean, you know, Oklahoma's a flawed team this year, you know what I mean?
So, I'm just looking at some of their games lately. Ever since the Georgia game, they struggled at Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
Granted, we did too. But, you know, they struggled at Arkansas. They struggled versus Kentucky.
Yeah.
The Florida game was kind of struggled at point steering. And they've regressed. They peaked early. And
yeah, they're not getting better. And isn't, like, Quinn Ewers kind of unhealthy? Like, I just don't,
Yeah, there's quarterback issues with their health, and so that's going to play into it. It's at Texas A&M, at Kyle Field.
At night.
I think that's going to be a big factor.
Yeah, I like A&M in this one. I think A&M, in fact, probably lost in part because they were looking ahead to this game. So I think they're going to be very motivated and inspired. And hey, A&M has a ton to play for, right? Because, like, correct me if I'm wrong, but A&M, if they win this game, they're in the SEC Championship, right?
Let me double check.
With the tiebreakers, I'm pretty sure the winner of this game goes to the SEC Championship.
Oh, I think you're actually correct on that. Okay.
Look it up. And so,
I did not realize that.
And so, yeah, I mean, this is... The stakes could not be higher.
It would be them and Georgia, yeah. Okay.
If you think of this as, like, a playoff to get to the SEC Championship,
yes,
which is
that's
also a playoff.
Right, I remember reading about that. Yes, this is a playoff game.
Yeah, basically. So... Playoffs start this weekend, folks. Get excited.
Do you have any games you wanted to bring up?
One final one. I'm going to give my lock of the week. And this is going to be a really hot take. But I got to say it, dude. At the same time as the Texas game, 6:30 p.m., Washington plays number one Oregon. Dude, I'm calling it right now. Washington's winning this game. They're 19-point underdogs. They're 19-point underdogs. And they're not a good team. But Oregon is so full of themselves. So up their own. I'm not going to say it. And I think a team like Washington, who has played Oregon many times in the past, they play them every year, right? They're going to know what it takes to take down Oregon. And God willing, the Ducks will finally be exposed. It's been lock of the week.
You know, I was kind of thinking it for almost the same exact logic of Washington knows Oregon. They've played each other a lot of times. They're going to know how to hit the right buttons and really get after them.
They beat them twice last year. So,
that's true.
I mean, hey.
That coach is pretty good, I bet.
I bet you. But I'm just saying, dude, like, looking back, dude, Washington's beat them at, I'm trying to find the last time Oregon won. Washington's had their number since 2021. So the last three times they played. The Huskies have come up victorious. I'm just saying, man. Don't sleep on them. I really want Oregon to lose. I really need them to lose. So
very true. Some other notable rivalry games that are going to need to be looked at and paid attention to is Miami. Well, it's not a rivalry game, but it's during the week. Sure. Miami at Syracuse.
Yeah.
You know, this is Miami needs to win this to stay in the playoff hunt. Absolutely, I think so. I think they would put us in over Miami. Miami had two losses.
Yeah. No doubt.
We have Cal 6-5 at SMU 10-1. That could be very interesting. If Miami loses and SMU loses, who knows what's going to happen at that point?
Yeah. There's a lot of chaos that could happen, right? Especially with this whole like auto bid thing. It's like
auto bids, and none of these conferences have divisions anymore. So nobody knows the tiebreaker.
It's extra
literally
crazy.
Nobody knows.
It's extra crazy. Yeah.
Like I tried to look up the math before. It's just not out there.
We need a website.
We have 9-2 Arizona State at Arizona, and if they lose, who knows what happens?
Arizona
there.
State's out. I'm pretty sure if they lose that one, Purdue, Indiana. Indiana's not making the Big Ten championship, but like they need to win obviously to have a chance, and they will. But it's fascinating. Like I feel like these games have a ton of meaning. You know, even with people predicting the playoffs to devalue a lot of these, this weekend feels more important than ever in a lot of ways as far as shaping the playoff picture.
Oh yeah, definitely. Even if we're not 100% certain about some of the tiebreaker math, it's like okay. Mm-hmm. We have like 15, 20 teams, really 20, 25 teams that are like actively playing for their spot.
Yeah. It's because of the automatic qualifiers, which I know we can hate on one hand, but on the other hand, it's dang interesting football. It's dang interesting that I'm kind of invested in Arizona State versus Arizona at this point in the season.
Exactly. You know what I mean? That's why we love college football, is watching these niche rivalries from across the country.
Yeah.
You know, it's amateur, semi-amateur sports at its best. It's whenever you have all these high stakes and watching everything kind of come together in a final clash at the end of the season.
Yeah. Yeah.
Watching Alabama hopefully get a mulligan.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Hopefully. We'll see. I mean, like I said, the rankings are going to come out like an hour or two after we're done recording. We'll really see then.
I love that that's just a reality of our podcast. We're always late to the news. We'll like miss major news that happens, like a coach gets fired. That'll be next week when coaches get fired. That'll be fun.
I guess on one final note, I wanted to get your estimation. Where do you think Alabama is going to be ranked?
After this, like now? Like this week, tonight?
Like this week, in and out.
12. Yeah, I think they'll be 12. Quote me on it.
I was going to guess 13.
I guess it's one of those two, right? No, Bama's fine. You're going to get in, Randy. You're probably gonna face Texas or something.
Is this what you mean by plot armor by saying we're gonna get in anyway? Or does plot armor mean we weren't supposed to lose? I don't understand.
Bama plot armor is like it goes beyond this week. It goes beyond this year. It's a way of life, really. It's like you can't bring Bama as a program down, period. Like even like Saban retires, right? And like finally the haters win. And like Bama loses to Vanderbilt, the haters really win, right? And like all like three losses, like on paper, like this should be it, but it's not. And it's the plot armor that's carrying you. Like you have the mandate of heaven on your side, Randy. This is manifest destiny. Like Bama cannot be brought down for good. And so even if somehow Bama doesn't get in this year, it's not over. Like this is a lifelong vendetta, I guess, that I'm going to have.
But let's face it, if Bama did get in this year, it's one of those things. I know how bad we played on the road, but I think everyone just kind of intrinsically knows we have a real possibility of showing up for 4 weeks.
We'll see. A lot of teams could. I think that's what's fun about this, is it just, I feel like, I could not tell you right now who I think is going to win it all. Like, I actually have no idea.
I really hate to say it. Don't make me say it.
Are you going
to
say Georgia?
Yeah.
Number 10, Georgia?
Yeah.
I kind of don't, because they look like crap against Ole Miss, dude. So I don't know.
I'm scared they're just going to pull it together and Carson Beck's going to stop throwing interceptions.
I guess like a lot, I feel like so much is riding. We're just like assuming that like these teams are going to like, oh yeah, Ohio State's obviously going to play well in the playoffs. Like, it says who?
My thing with it is the team that's most likely to win is the team that's one, the most consistent, and two, relies the least on their quarterback play. Georgia checks both of those boxes in very major ways, and that's why I kind of really like their chances. Alabama is very inconsistent, and our offense very much relies on our quarterback.
That is true. Does that mean Ohio State has a good chance since they don't rely on their crappy quarterback either?
It kind of actually does, in a way.
Isn't that wild, dude? This has been true for the last three seasons, by the way. Teams have been rewarded for having bad quarterbacks.
I don't want to say rewarded for having bad quarterbacks, but rewarded for having a team that's so good that the bad quarterback doesn't hurt them.
Like game managers.
Having a team around their quarterback play.
Yeah, like Stetson Bennett, game manager. Right, J.J. McCarthy, game manager. Like, these game managers are winning national titles. And I know Michigan cheated, but, like, it's still, like, it feels wrong in a way, doesn't it? A little bit.
I kind of like the idea that the team isn't reliant. A team doesn't have to be reliant on one player. Mm-hmm. I kind of like that. But on the other hand, it would be cool to see more teams having. I mean, there is opportunities. If you plug in a great quarterback, you can all of a sudden be a contender.
Miami.
But I think we actually do get the best of both worlds. And that a great quarterback on a, you know, average-ish, a slightly above average team can all of a sudden elevate them to be a national championship contender.
That's true.
You can recruit around your quarterback play and be a national championship contender. You don't have to have a quarterback to do it.
That is true.
It gives you options.
We got ways of winning and ways of losing. Randy, great. This has been fun. Any other games here, or should we call it for the episode?
That is about all I have. It's going to be a very fun Thanksgiving. Going to eat lots of food, watch a lot of football.
Yeah, dude, I'm looking forward. In a way, I'm glad that we're getting our game over with on Friday, win or lose. That way I can at least, like, enjoy all of Saturday by myself, just, like, really eating lots of pizza and enjoying some good football. You know, that's what this holiday is all about, right? Eating food and watching football. So, folks, I hope you at home have a great Thanksgiving week, of course. Enjoy Rivalry Week. Can't believe it's here. Can't believe it's almost over, Randy. But should be fun. Thank you, Randy, for joining me as always. And folks, lest we forget this time of year. Roll Tide.
Let's go.